start with Matthew 27 from verse 27. I'm going to read a part of sufferings of our Lord on the cross. Then the soldiers of the governor, having taken Jesus with them to the praetorium, gathered against him the whole band, and having taken off his garment, put on him a scarlet cloak, and having woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And having spit upon him, they took the reed and beat him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify. And as they went forth, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, whom they compelled to go with them, that he might bear his cross. And having come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave to him to drink vinegar mingled with gall. And having tasted it, he would not drink. And having crucified him, they parted his clothes amongst themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they kept guard over him there. And they set upon over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then are crucified with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. But the passers-by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross." And in like manner, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is King of Israel, let him descend now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusted upon God. Let him save him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am Son of God.'" And the robbers, who had been crucified with him, cast the same reproaches on him. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. But about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of those who stood there, when they heard it, said, "This man calls for Elias." And immediately, one of them running and getting a sponge, having filled it with vinegar and fixed it on a reed, gave him to drink. But the rest said, let us see if Elias comes to save him." And Jesus, having again cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. And lo, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth was shaken, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints fallen asleep arose, and going out of the tombs after his rising, entered into the holy city, and appeared unto many. But the centurion, and they who were with him on guard over Jesus, seeing the earthquake, and the things that took place, fear greatly, saying, "Truly, this man was Son of God." And then I would like to read a verse in Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 13. In whom, that is in Christ, ye also have trusted, having heard the word of the truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, ye have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the acquired possession to the praise of his glory. The gospel is addressed to sinners. That is, to men and women who are not according to the will of God, who have disobeyed the will of God. And you know, if you look into your own personal experience, you will find that. I only have to talk for myself. I cannot speak about you, because the message is for us all, including the preacher. And what is important is that we come to it that we need a Savior. And the Savior is presented in the Gospel not always in the most happy and glorious way, but he is presented in the humble situation in which he came and in which he accepted to walk on this earth for a few years, serving faithfully, completely, and perfectly his God. Now, I don't know what each one of us thinks about the Lord. I don't know everybody here. If you are not a believer, you have to consider seriously your position. You see, when you were born, you were put into a world in which there is God's creation. And God's creation is available to you as it is available to all other men, all other person. That is already an act of grace of God. The fact that when you were born you have had life in you is another act of grace of God. You know, it's not the doctor, the gynecologist that gave you life. It is God that gave you life. It's his own breath of life that has been given to you. That is seriously to be considered. Then you can consider other aspects, like what affection is, what having a family is, what perspective life gives to persons, what is going to happen when you are going to die. That is a serious consideration if you are not a believer. And now you could say, well, how can I believe in the Lord? And, well, I think you will have noticed I read a section of what happened to the Lord Jesus. Now, I think you are acquainted enough with the story of the Lord to know that when he was here, he continually produced miracles and did everything good, never expressed anything that was evil. He saved persons. He made people dead to live again. He was always available for anybody who was in need. Would you expect such an end for a person like that? It is not something that happens in any case. No, nobody has done the work of the Lord. And he has done all that. He has been processed with the most unjust process in this world. He had done nothing amiss, and he was condemned amidst two robbers. Now, imagine man evaluation in putting the Lord in the cross. Why did that happen? If you are not a believer, you have to ask yourself that question. You might accept that historically the Lord lived. Many people accept that. But that is not enough. You know, what the Lord has in mind is to speak to your heart, your personal heart, in a personal way, in order that you may develop a link with him. Now, if you go through these sufferings that the Lord has accepted and allowed, you know, he had the power to stop all this. In fact, these people, in a mocking way, which is not acceptable, but it's reported here, they said that you can descend from the cross. He could have done that. He could have not gone, not accepted it. You know, when the mass of people, soldiers went to, and the priest and everybody went to him, he said to them something and they all fell to the ground. That was the power of the Lord compared to the power of a throng of people. They thought that going in an army all together, they could do something. They couldn't do anything. But the Lord allowed all that. Now, why did he allow that? Well, you know, he allowed it to save me and to save you. You might ask, what does it mean to be saved? Well, you know, as a believer in the Lord, I accept the full Bible from cover to cover. So, if you read in the Bible, creation tells us about how things were created and how man was created. And when man was created and was put in a beautiful garden, according to what we read, there was only a request made to the man. That was not to eat of one fruit. One thing requested. That the problem was there, that instead of believing the word of God, man believed the word of the devil. And that is the bottom line of it. It's not eating exactly. It's obviously that is a problem, but it's not the first thing to be considered. The first thing is that he believed Satan's word rather than the word of God. And this is happening all the time. Satan is suggesting things to mankind through many ways. I'm not here to speak about them to you, but you know what I mean. You look around, we were talking together before, of the distractions that can come to our mind as we walk and as we live day by day. And those distractions are those that that really are the work of Satan in the souls of men. Why is he working? Because he's against God. We have to live that he is stronger than we are. But the Lord Jesus is more powerful than him. Mm-hmm. Don't forget Satan is stronger than you are. That is an important lesson I learned when I was young, and I still have to learn it now. He's there all the time against those who are of the Lord. And those who are of the Lord are not a religious category, nor those who go to a church or to another place. They are those who believe in the Lord. Now, here, we have a full lot of people that don't believe, didn't believe in the Lord. They were mocking him, they were doing all sorts of things. It's even difficult to read what has been done to my Lord. But amongst all these people, there was a man who at the end of it had to say, this man was truly Son of God. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the reading of the sufferings of the Lord should bring the heart of anyone to this understanding. He came here in order that bringing on the cross upon himself, bearing on the cross upon himself all the condemnation that should have been on me and you, he might make us free. Now, it's very important that we understand it. And as an unbeliever, one has to be drawn to the cross of the Lord and watch all that. Many were there who didn't believe, and they were looking at that. We don't know what happened in their heart, it's not said. But it is important that we go to the cross. We start there. We don't start reading books or doing other things. We start going to the consideration or contemplation, perhaps you might say, of the cross of the Lord. Once you have done that, you consider the fact that the Lord has done that for you, in order that you might not be judged. You know, God's grace comes to you with God's righteousness. It's not separate. God doesn't admit what is wrong. He doesn't admit sin. It is something that can be present in his holy eye, in his holy presence. And so God judges sin. But instead of judging upon you or me, he has judged it upon the Lord Jesus. But when does that happen? When we believe. If we don't believe, it is judged on me if I don't believe. But if I believe, it's the Lord that bore it for me in order that I may be free. If you are a believer, of course, you might say, I know these things. I have heard it many times. I know it. I know that. But, you know, being reminded and considering the sufferings of the Lord draws more understanding and more affection from our hearts to him. And that is where I feel I am lacking, is in affection for the Lord. I don't know what you feel for yourself if you are a believer, but I feel that. And looking unto this reading of these sufferings, you see what my Lord has allowed. He was God. He could have not allowed it, but he allowed it for my benefit and for your benefit if you believe on him. When we say believe on him, just means accept that you need to repent of your sins and to accept the work of the Lord. You don't need to go and say, tell your sins to somebody or to a friend, no. You just need to go into your room on your own and kneel to the Lord and say, confess your sins to him and say, Lord, they are a weight for me. And you bore that weight on the cross for me. That is when you really believe in the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. After that, the gospel opens up a way of blessing for you. Mm-hmm. And the way of blessing is for everybody, but it can be experienced in a personal way. That means that each one of us will draw his own impressions of what the Lord has done for me. I don't mean that is something you can choose. I don't mean that. I mean that you have accepted the Lord as your Savior. The way of blessing is open to you, and you will enter into the enjoyment of these blessings. That is why I read my second passage. Because to enjoy the blessings of the gospel, you need another divine person. And that is the Holy Spirit. You know, God, in his wisdom, has seen it good to reveal himself in three persons. One is the Lord Jesus, one is the Father, one is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord Jesus came purposely here to reveal God as Father. That means that when you are a believer, one of the first effects is you become a son. Son of the Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. The same Father that the Lord had when he was here, representing the Son of God here. Mm-hmm. It is a remarkable thing, isn't it? That we have been called by the Lord his own brethren. Mm-hmm. That means we are sons of our Father, Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. We can't call ourselves brethren of the Lord. He did call us like that. And therefore we have that privilege. But to understand of this and to benefit of this, the Lord thought that we needed help. And we are very thankful to him for having provided that help. You know, if we were left without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would soon be lost, because our minds are limited and we cannot get into what is so deep as what the gospel opens to us. So the Holy Spirit is given in order that we may enter into all that. And that is why I chose Paul's words. The Apostle Paul said this. He said that we have trusted in Christ, having heard the word of the truth. That means the truth is what is presented of the word of God. And God only speaks the truth. There is no darkness in light, and there is no lie in God at all. It's all true. What comes from him goes straight to you as it is. It is not like that amongst us men. We sometimes are limited even by the language. You can see how I'm limited in other language. But it's obvious that With man, there is nothing that is perfectly through all the way, true all the way through, you see. But with God is absolutely the way, the word of the truth. And having the glad tidings of your salvation, this is what the Lord is presenting to us in each gospel, the glad tidings of salvation. Salvation means that we are relieved from what was upon us, and we can be under His hand. And having believed, He has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, the Holy Spirit is given to a believer. You cannot have it if you are an unbeliever. It's very important to draw lines, you know, because, as I said before, light was separated from darkness, and the darkness never included light, if you see what I mean. It's completely separate, and the Spirit is given to a believing heart, to those who believe. And this is a seal. That means that what is given to you can be taken away. Sealed. That is a good word to use for us men, humanly speaking, because we understand that what is sealed is there. It can be altered. And the Spirit is a spirit of promise. Now, this promise is related to what the Lord has done. The Lord has accomplished everything that is given to our heart as our portion. And what the Lord has accomplished is for our eternal salvation. That means that we have the assurance that our spirit will go with Him. We will be with Him if we are believers. But there is also a practical effect, and that is the redemption of the acquired possession. Now, the Lord Jesus has bought us to the cost of His own life. And we are believers still in our human bodies. But we can be redeemed according to the power of the Lord through the Spirit. That means that when you are a believer, you really can experience the blessings that the Lord has granted to us. You know, we were speaking in the reading that we are concerned that what we say together is not something theoretical, but is a reality. And the reality is through the blessed service of the Spirit that redeems what is really subject to human failures in order that it may be kept in its full value for the Lord. So the faith that is given into your heart will be kept there by the Holy Spirit in its full value, and the promise of the Lord will be kept there in its full value. Now, I am aware that I've said things that are known, and I'm aware that I've used passages that are known, but my sincere desire is that whether we are believers or unbelievers, we may be able really to go to the cross of the Lord and see what He has done for us, and see what has been opened to us, and see also that the Spirit is given, that what has been opened to us may be kept for us while we are here. There won't be any failure in what the Spirit is keeping for us, you know. There might be failures in my own feelings or my own enjoyment of it. Sometimes I enjoy more, sometimes I enjoy less. But it won't go away, because if you have put your trust in the Lord, what you have earned from Him, inherited from Him, will be kept there in its full value. May you really experience this in your own heart, in your own link. I particularly encourage my younger brethren to see that the Lord is available continually to help us and to make us walk once our in the way, once our heart is opened to Him. Mm-hmm. May you really feel that in your heart, for His name's sake.
Amen. Amen.